Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor, supporting the accountant community.
Hi, this is Darren Root, and you are listening to episode 34 of Small Business Consulting to Go. Today I'm with Doug Sleater. Doug is one of my co-hosts, and he is also the president of the Sleater Group. The Sleater Group is a national accounting software consulting firm with over 600 members in the U.S. and Canada. So welcome today, Doug.
Hi, Darren. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. We also, Doug, today have Brian Tankersley with us, who's our technical editor with the CPA Technology Advisor. So welcome today, Brian.
Thanks, Darren. Glad to be with you.
Great to have you. Brian also, many of you have probably heard of Brian in the past. He does a lot of writing. He writes a column for the CPA Technology Advisor as well, as well as being one of the members of K2 Enterprises. So Brian teaches all over the country. So Brian, it's great to have you today. And for our listeners moving forward, Brian, you and Doug will be taking over Small Business Consulting to Go. So good luck with that.
Well, thanks. I'm looking forward to it. I think, you know, especially since I write on Peachtree and Doug writes on QuickBooks, I think there's some pretty interesting stuff that we can talk about over time.
Absolutely. Well, glad you mentioned QuickBooks, because that's one of the things we're going to talk about today, guys. Doug, you and I were in Chicago, and actually Brian was in Chicago a couple of weeks ago for the Illinois show, and QuickBooks kind of gave us a preview of what was going to come out in QuickBooks 2011. So, Doug, I think didn't they recently have a press release in the last week or so with all this information?
Yeah, Intuit just released QuickBooks 2011. That's their whole series of products from QuickBooks Simple Start through Pro, Premier, and Enterprise. So their 2011 lineup is now in the market. And, they showed it to us, and we've been testing it for a while now. And I would like to say I'm somewhat familiar with it, but there are still so many little parts of it that we're discovering as we try to really put it to use. But today we're going to talk about that, kind of what the new features are, and I'll do a little bit of opinion setting on some of the early responses we're getting from our group.
That'd be great. Also today, Doug, I'd like to maybe talk just a little bit about the Sleater Conference that's coming up in November and where you guys are at with that, as well as I'd like for, you know, Brian just to talk a little bit about the Simply Accounting Conference. A lot of firms may not have heard of Simply Accounting before, but it's a Sage product. I'd like for Brian just to talk a little bit about that as we try to wrap up today. So if that sounds okay with you guys, Doug, kick us off with what's new in QuickBooks 2011.
Okay, well, so QuickBooks 2011, it's all been out about a week as we tape this thing. We're in the middle of September taping this. Some of the new features that I want to point to today are, the first one is the QuickBooks File Manager. The QuickBooks File Manager is actually included with the accountant version of QuickBooks 2011, so it's only available if you get the accountant edition. And what it is a separate little tiny application that groups your QuickBooks files from all over your hard drive and your network, groups them into a screen where you can kind of navigate all of them. You can group them into folders by client. So the idea is that if you're an accounting firm and you have 100 QuickBooks files out there and they're scattered all over your network and they're in folders and all that stuff, this file manager allows you to basically aggregate and create a dashboard view of all your different clients and all of their different files within. It splits the files up into, you know, the QuickBooks company files, which are the QBW files, and separates them from the accountant's copy files, which are maybe files that your clients have sent you. They're a special file type that you can do journal entries on and those sorts of things, and then synchronize the changes you've made back into the client's file back in at their location. And the third grouping is the backups and the portable files. So it allows me to really kind of have a dashboard of all the different clients and the associated QuickBooks files. And from this kind of dashboard, I can open up any of these client files. So I guess it just makes it easier to navigate around all the different files you have to deal with.
That's a long time coming. I mean, from an accountant's perspective, and we've needed a file manager, or at least a sort of a dashboard, if you will, look at getting into clients for a long time.
And there's another little piece of it. You can actually keep notes on each file. I'm not sure yet whether that's going to really play out to be all that important, but it's a nice thought. So, again, consider this dashboard look where you can click on a file that you see in the dashboard and make some notes about what that file is. And so later when you go and you, look at that file, the notes are there. Interesting thought. Not sure quite how useful that'll be just yet.
Yeah.
Another piece before I leave this piece is included with the file manager is this password vault. So the other problem you have when you have a million files is you have a million logins and passwords. So it has a vault where you can store on each file in a secure vault. You can associate your login credentials with that file name. So it'll really save you time when you have to open somebody else's file and you forgot your password.
Sure, that'll be very handy. You know, Doug, something I got corrected on in Chicago, and you and Brian probably understand this better than I, but was, I use the term accountant's version, accountant's edition, oftentimes accountant's copy all interchangeably, and I know they're now sort of different. I mean, I know accountant's copy has always been different, but Doug, why don't you kind of just lay out the terminology that Intuit is now using as they talk about their different, versions, of the software.
Yeah, and now I hope I don't blow it. It used to be the editions, the Simple Start, the Pro, Premier, and then Accountant is one of the Premier editions, but now the Accountant Edition is completely a separate product. It's not something that's really associated with Premier anymore. It's just QuickBooks Accountant Edition. So it's a very subtle little naming change they've made, but not a big deal otherwise.
Sure. And then everything else, we're still going to have Pro and Premier, is that right?
Oh, yes. You still got Pro and Premier and the Enterprise, but Accountant is kind of its own thing and with its own set of features and all that, separate from all the others.
So, Brian, go ahead. Sorry about that.
No, I was just going to ask Doug, because that's something I've been looking at and trying to figure out, because I haven't talked to the Intuit folks yet about this. I've been trying to figure out if when my ProAdvisor kit comes in, do you know if is there still an Enterprise Accountant Edition, or have they effectively folded together Premier Accountant and Enterprise Accountant?
Well, not folded together, but you'll get both. So you'll get the Accountant Edition for the Premier level, if you will. But you'll also get a single user copy of the Accountant Edition or the Enterprise Accountant. Like I said,
so those are still separate then. Don't all fold into one. They're still going to be separate applications because Enterprise is built on a slightly different database, right, Doug, than the Premier Edition.
Yeah, that's the big leap you take. Once you leave Pro, Premier, then you go to Enterprise, and that's a whole world of its own. And so there's the Accountant Edition within the Premier level with the Premier database that allows you to trade files with all your Pro and Premier and even Simple Start customers. And then if you have Enterprise clients as well, then you'll have an Enterprise version loaded on your machine as well that'll allow you to open any of your clients who are using Enterprise.
You know, Brian, I don't know if you'll know the answer to this, but, I sit there and I look at that and I think, well, if the Enterprise is sort of the more latest and greatest database, and I don't know that that's necessarily true, but if I think of it that way, why do they not just evolve to the Enterprise platform across the whole space. You have any idea?
Well, I think they did back in 2006 when they went to this. I mean, because my understanding of them, and this is, you know, I'm a little rusty on this, but my understanding is that they're both based on the Sybase SQL platform. So they've moved both of them to that. But I think my understanding is that there's some issues with the code base of Pro and Premier, such that, you know, that don't exist in the enterprise code base. They have to do with the limits and so forth.
Okay.
But my understanding is that they both run on a similar database, but it's not exactly the same. Like you've got, you know, for example, in enterprise, you've got options to add, you know, different options to add fields, you know, where you can add in a field that's a, you know, that's got a drop-down box with it, or a field that's numeric only, or a field that's text.
Yeah, so that's all correct, Brian. You know, Enterprise and Premier, they're all based on the Sybase database underlying technology. But there is a schema change to the underlying database with Enterprise that really opens up a whole bunch of other data types. And it allows, for example, to restrict users to be able to see this bank account but not that, or, you know, much more granular control over what users can do. That's probably one of the biggest changes overall, or I guess additional features overall in the enterprise, is this user control. And then as we go forward, you'll see Intuit extend more and more in the enterprise space beyond what you're going to see in the Premier and Pro space. And I think that's recognizing that there's different market needs. There's a whole bunch of little businesses that just simply don't need all the powerful, great features. But enterprise is the kind of the horse they're riding into the larger mid-range client base.
Sure. Well, Doug, what other new features are we to expect in 2011 besides sort of this file menu?
Yeah. Well, a new, I think a big deal, but I'm still really pondering this, is the ability to open multiple data files at the same time. So I can have QuickBooks 2011 open twice, and each of my two running applications, they're both QuickBooks 2011, can have a different QuickBooks data file open. Now, you can only do it twice, meaning you can only have two open, not three or four, because as soon as you tell me I can have two open, then I'm going to say, oh, gosh, then I can have all my clients open at one time and I can go back and forth. Well, no, you can't do that, but you can have two. But as always, I double click on these kinds of things and look a little deeper. What we find out is that, yes, you can have them open, but you can't really use them. In the sense of, let's say, if any of the data files have an SDK application, so any of the add-ons, they stop working as soon as you have that second one open. So for most small businesses who are using QuickBooks with any add-on, you can't do that. So you can really only have one file open to make true use of the product. But I think the idea is for accountants who have multiple clients and they're trying to just switch back and forth between several data files, this is kind of helping us to at least have the files, open them, do some reports, that sort of thing.
What about now? I mean, the two sounded really good that we were looking at it, but like you say, if you're using an SDK, so I guess an accounting firm, maybe it's just very simply just has two files open and they're not doing any vertical apps or anything, it should work okay?
Right. Just open them up, see their balances, see the data, you know, navigate around within the product, but don't use it like, let's say, well, again, if you're back in the business owner, you know, at the business shop, you know, you're shipping a package or something and you're going to the shipping manager, or you're going to even the Intuit statement writer to do a financial statement. You couldn't have two data files open and do financial statements with statement writer. You couldn't have two files open and use Smart Vault to store your documents or to integrate your bill.com payments. So you've got constraints as soon as you go to the multiple files, but you do have at least the ability to have them open and see the data in there.
What else? What features, Doug, do you see in this edition that'll be useful?
Yeah, well, one of the cool things is, I don't know about you guys, but I'm on 64-bit machines here, and 64-bit has been a problem. So 64-bit Windows 7 has been a problem in QuickBooks 2010 and in a lot of little areas, I suppose, but the PDF writer that Intuit uses is actually a third-party tool, and it allows you to create PDFs from, for example, Financial Statement Writer or Inside the Bank Record or whatever. This PDF writer had issues with Windows 7 64-bit. All of my testing with version 2011 shows that has been resolved. And that's huge news to me because I've been trying to get down the road on some of these other areas of the software, and I just haven't been able to do the testing or the implementation with clients. So we're telling clients just don't go to 64-bit, which is crazy because I don't want to tell them that. And Brian, I don't know if you're having the same issues with your Peachtree clients, but it's been tough.
Yeah, I'm not. I haven't been having that many issues with it, but the issue with the issue with QuickBooks and the 64-bit stuff I've been having for probably 3 years. It seems like they'd fix it and then it'd get unfixed, they'd fix it and get unfixed. So I'm glad to see that they've taken a more comprehensive view of it.
Yeah.
Put it within the application because I think I think just making it work is the thing that's going to work.
Well, to be clear here, it's been working great. The application QuickBooks has been working great in version 64 for me or 64-bit systems for me for a while with almost no issues. The problem is there's always one little thing that doesn't work, and unfortunately, the kinds of stuff we do, if one little thing doesn't work, it kind of blows up a whole capability, which is unacceptable to install at a client. So then we have to just say, well, we got to wait. And it's not that it doesn't work; it's just that one thing doesn't work, and then in that case, it was a third-party add-in that they had no control over, but doesn't matter because I couldn't deploy it. So, yeah.
Hey, Doug, this is Darren. I got disconnected
sure.
a moment. But, yeah, that's the one thing, you and I talked about with Statement Writer. You'd get a statement all the way done, and the PDF writer or presenter didn't really work.
Yeah.
64-bit, so you're dead in the water.
Yeah.
And, it hasn't worked for a year, and so all of a sudden you can't, it's hard to wait a year.
Yeah, hard to wait. Go ahead.
And what I ended up having to do, guys, is I would just end up setting my default printer to be the Acrobat Distiller that you get when you have Adobe Acrobat installed.
Yeah.
And I just ended up having to send all the reports out to that.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's workarounds, but those are the kinds of things that get a little techie. And by the way, that Distiller is something you only get with the real. If you own the true version of Acrobat, which a lot of people don't have, they just have the reader. So, of course, then there's downloadable free PDF writers too. And that was kind of the thing. We can get it done, but when I go to clients and I have to get it done by telling them to stand on their toes and wrap their hand around their head, it just feels like that's not a solution we're comfortable recommending.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anything else, Doug, of notableness in the version?
Yeah, well, Darren, you and I have talked a lot about Intuit Statement Writer. I've been revisiting that with the new version. It looks like all the issues that I had have been resolved, but there were just little things. What we have heard about some file corruption in the Intuit Statement Writer that I haven't been able to repeat. And what I'm told by the product managers at Intuit is the Intuit Statement Writer, the big issue of 64-bit is resolved here in 11, but then there's another update to Statement Writer coming very soon, so probably by the end of the year we'll see some big advancements down the Statement Writer. And there's several other, you know, smaller features that, you know, I think the users are going to really see. So batch invoicing, the ability to create a bunch of invoices in a batch, that's something that we've wanted for a long time. Kind of like Memorized, but a little bit different. A few, visual changes to the software, like if you're creating an invoice, since we're on the radio, it's kind of hard to imagine this, but if you've seen a QuickBooks invoice, you see an invoice, it's the form of the invoice, and you fill it all out. Well, now they have this little slide-out panel to the right of it that as you enter a customer name at the top of the invoice, it shows over on the right the details of the customer, the name, address, city, state, zip, and then a quick report of previous invoices for that same customer or job. So it gives you a little, I guess, quick view on what you've done with this customer in the past. Now, one of the things you can do over there on the right panel is you can actually click, let's say, one of the invoices, but it's kind of surprising to me what it brings up is just a transaction journal on that invoice rather than a copy of the invoice or a view of the invoice. It really just shows you the debits and credits that were applied on that particular invoice back there. So that seems a little strange to me. At least it's the data, but I don't actually see the invoices.
Well, so it sounds like have they already started shipping this product, Doug?
Yeah, it's shipped on, I believe it was September 7th of 10. So it's just out now and getting to stores. You may not actually see it just yet, but it's all kind of in the pipeline now. So you should be able to see it very soon.
Great. Brian, we mentioned that we were going to talk just a little bit about Simply Accounting. And you know, they have a big users conference in Canada, actually, in Vancouver, British Columbia. That is in October, and I think the dates are around October 21st, 22nd, 23rd, that sort of time frame. But tell our listeners what you know about Simply Accounting at this point.
Okay, well, Simply Accounting is a Sage product that is competitive with QuickBooks, and it's kind of the best way it's kind of the dominant small business product in Canada. By market share and so forth, and it actually has a Spanish language version that's sold in the United States for English-Spanish compatibility. They have a conference called the Simply Partnership Conference, and you can learn about it at simplypartnership.com. There's a pre-conference on the 19th and the 20th of October. Then the conference itself is October 21st through 23rd, and it's being held at the Hyatt in Vancouver, which is, you know, a pretty swanky place to hang out. So, again, it's if you're interested in learning more about that and going to a beautiful place like Vancouver, I'd encourage you to visit simplypartnership.com.
You know, Brian, I've spent some time in Simply Accounting and really find it to be a pretty cool program. Have you spent much time playing with it?
I have. They actually have a very interesting tool with it called Alchemix. That's it's called Simply Accounting Intelligence, and it lets you do a lot of drill down in Excel and other things like that. It's surprisingly robust. But it still does the whole ease of use thing that we do with a lot. With QuickBooks and other entry level products. So, I'd encourage folks to. Folks to have a look at that. Like I said, the U.S. side of Simply, especially Canadians, I'd encourage to have a look at it. The U.S. side of Simply, of course, again, is focused primarily on the Spanish language market at this point.
Yeah, and in that case, I thought the interesting part of that was that, if you do have a Spanish-speaking person and an English-speaking person, they can both be in the application in their respective languages at the same time.
Yeah, that's right. And, of course, the Canadian version has got French and Canadian as well. So it is multi-currency, multi-language. And, if you have those needs, I'd encourage you to have a look at them.
Sure. Well, Doug, you got the Sleater Conference coming up in November. Kind of tell us, how things are going. Registration hopefully it's good this year, and it's been good in the past, and it sounds like a great conference. So what's going on?
Yes, definitely coming along. We're looking to have, well, we hope a record crowd this year. It's hard to ever know this early, but looking very good in terms of the number of people that are signing up. Vendors that we have coming, looks like we're going to have about 50 in our trade show. I think it's somewhere in the high 40s right now, and most people get signed up by this point with their vendors planning on exhibiting. Two that's recently signed up is Big Time, which is the company's called Edison's Attic. They have a online time and billing product. And then Concor Travel and Expense Software. This is a new company to me, really just kind of come to market with a time and expense product, and we're just learning about that, so they'll be there as well. The content of the conference is pretty much all locked down now. If you go to SleeterConference.com, you can see all of the sessions posted. We're still posting details as some of the speakers get some of their descriptions to us. But we're going to have, I think it's 53 sessions across 7 different tracks. The tracks in the show really show us a broad set of technology. It's not just a QuickBooks conference. It's really a conference of technology. So there's technologies and best practices track, where we really talk about how different technologies can be used in the small business to improve their processes. There's a using cloud technologies to collaborate with clients. So it's really focused on how are all these cloud applications and services that are coming up, how are they going to impact your own firm as well as your clients, and how do they help us to collaborate with clients. There's a sort of a business development, growing and marketing your practice track. There's about 4 or 5 different sessions in that where we talk about developing brands and where are the opportunities in the market and how do you really do consulting in a way that works well for clients, sort of what to do, say, or write to your client in order to really improve the way you attract and maintain the management's and manage the relationships with clients. And then there's this whole specialization track. We think that there's a lot of benefit in taking whatever it is you do and specializing it and becoming what you are and deciding what you're not and specializing there and getting better and better at that. So there's a session on churches, for example, if you want to, you know, do church accounting. There's a session on nonprofits or contractors or different point of sale tips. So QuickBooks Point of Sale is one of the products that we're going to talk about there. What about web stores and e-commerce? How do you deal with clients who need to set up a web store and integrate it with their desktop application? What about going into specializing in writing custom reports for management using the ODBC links into QuickBooks or whatever? So there'll be a session on that from Chuck Vigeant. There's a new track this year, firm owners and partners. We're trying to really attract the owner and partner to come and look at this technology from a broader perspective. How should they build their firm in such a way to take advantage of the technology that is going to really be what their clients are demanding from them? So in that track, we're going into ethics and liability of social media, even social networking as a tool. What are all these web applications? How do you, you know, use them all together in your practice and in your clients? Intuit's going to be there this year with their Intuit Academy. So there's a whole track of like 10 sessions that they will present on deep dives on their own product, payroll products, online products, the Intuit App Center, which is this new area that is part of their Intuit partner platform. We're going to do a session on that one as well. And then, Darren, you're going to be speaking, so there'll be a lot of great keynote speakers as well.
We're all looking forward to it. So it sounds like it's going to be a great conference. Well, guys, we're out of time today. So, Brian, I really appreciate you not only as our new technical editor, the CPA Technology Advisor, but all you do for the profession. So I know our listeners are going to look forward to you and Doug co-hosting the Small Business Consulting to Go in the Future. So congratulations on that again, Brian.
Thanks, Darren. I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to working with you, Doug, to try to figure out how we can help the readers out the best.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
Sounds good. Well, guys, thanks today, and until our next episode, wish you guys the best.
For more information about the CPA Technology Advisor's other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit cpatechnologyadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106. Or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.